You know, it never gets old hearing what God is doing, right? You know, you could hear testimony after testimony, and being a part of this ministry for about 23 years now, you know, you hear many testimonies. But when you watch these students come into the program, as you heard with the background, the struggles, the pain, and then you see them a year later watching the transformation of Christ in their lives, it brings us hope. Amen? Despite what you hear and you see around us in this world, and we can look at it, and I do at times too, I shake my head and say, Lord, you're coming back soon because things are getting bad. You know, when I go to work every day and I get to get up and I get to be around these men and these women, and you get to watch how they surrender, and that's key, because they can only get to the place where they are today because they've surrendered their lives into the hands of Christ. And so great job this morning. If you have your Bibles, just real quick, I have a very quick thought that I want to drop into your hearts. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verses 36. I'm going to read one verse to you this morning. And the Lord kind of dropped this word into my heart this week. And how many of you know that sometimes when we go through things personally in ourselves, God will give us a word or a thought for us to share and to around those around you. And God dropped this word upon my heart that I believe is for us here this morning. Acts chapter 13, verses 36. Just one quick verse. It says, now when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep. Now when David had served God's purposes in his generation, he fell asleep. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray, God, in these next few moments that you would be glorified. God, just anoint this word, Lord, that you would speak to every heart, every life here today. Father, I know that we're all going through something, struggles, difficulties, trials. God, just the cares and concerns of everyday life. Father, I pray that you would speak clearly, God, your purpose. Father, your purpose, God, for each and every one of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, one of the amazing things about God, and of course there are many, is that God has given us, mankind, the ability to make choices, right? We are what we could call free radicals, meaning we have a choice. We can choose between right and wrong. We can choose to accept God's word and his precepts for our lives, or we can reject them. We could serve God's purposes for our lives, or we could ignore them and live our lives the way we see fit. And as a former Teen Challenge graduate, I could tell you today that I spent a good portion of my life living to serve myself and what I thought was best and how I thought my life should be run, never caring or giving much thought to what God had planned for me. In fact, I didn't even know if God had a plan for my life, because it wasn't really until I came into Teen Challenge that I began to understand. I think as Ivan shared, he knew of God, but he didn't know God. So he had an idea of who I thought God was, but it wasn't until I came into the Teen Challenge and I began to get discipled and trained, and I began to read this word and to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to work into my life, did I begin to understand that there was a distinction between God's purposes and my own purpose. And in our text here in Acts 13, verses 36, it says, when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. Isn't that the ultimate epitaph that we should all have on our gravestones one day? Man, that when Chris served God's purposes in his generation, I think we all would want that to be said about us, that as we lived our lives here on earth, that we did it for one purpose in mind, and that was to fulfill and to serve the purposes that our Creator, Almighty God, had for our lives. And let's pause for a moment, because if we look about who we're speaking about here, we're talking about David here, right? And we all know about David's life. We know about David's testimony. In fact, David would have been a prime candidate for the ministry of Long Island Teen Challenge 2,000 plus years ago. His life was far from perfect. We know, as we kind of recap his life, that he spent the majority of his life on the run while he was on Saul's hit list, so to speak. We know that his home life was pretty dysfunctional as his very own son tried to steal the throne from him. He committed adultery, we know this, and got Bathsheba pregnant. And then to hide and to try to conceal his sin, what did he do? He had her husband killed. So David knew what struggle was about. He knew what failure was all about. He experienced great trials, and to be honest with you, his list of failures is much longer than most of ours. But nonetheless, the Bible still says this about David's life, that he had fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. That means it's hope for us, amen? Because if God can call David a man after his own heart, despite of his imperfections and his shortcomings, friends, there was hope for us as well. And I wonder, friends, when everything is said and done, I wonder if God won't ask you and I the very same question when we stand before him one day. Did you serve my purposes while you were here on earth? In other words, did you live and did I live my life by default, or did we live our lives by design? And what do I mean? I mean, at times in our lives, and this word is for myself first, we can become robotic in the things of just life and in church. And we can become like a machine just going through the daily rigors and the responsibilities and the daily motions of everyday life. And we can live our lives as the world does and do what the world does and kind of just blend along. And we fail to recognize that each and every one of us here within the sound of my voice has been created for something much more and to serve a unique, special purpose on earth, God's purposes. Or are we, and can we say that we're living our life by design? How God had always intended for us to live. Psalms 139, verses 16 says that all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. What does that mean? That means, in other words, the script of your life and my life were written by God before any of us were even born. Jeremiah 1:5 tells us the same thing, that before we were even conceived, before we were even a thought in our mom and her dad, that God already knew, formed, and predestined our lives. Meaning this, that God has a special and a unique purpose for all of our lives. And it's not just about, you know, what job we're going to have or what giftings and talents we have, but it's much more than that. And what is this purpose in life? It's to serve the purposes of God. So real quickly, I'm going to give you just two quick points. Write down these words if you could. Number one is God's purpose, not ours. God's purpose, not ours. And as I said when I opened up, there's a distinction between, you know, God's purposes and our purpose. And there's a big difference between God serving our purposes and us serving God's purposes. And I think at times we can get this kind of flip-flopped, and we can kind of play a little role reversal on God, and we get it backwards, meaning that there are so many times I'll often pray and I'll ask God to bless and to honor and God to be with me as I do this, rather than me saying, God, I want to fulfill what you want me to do. You know, God, I want your purposes for my life. But a lot of times we ask and we pray God to bless what we want and God to bless what we're doing instead of what God wants to bless. Let me explain. Up till I was around 24 years old, I came into Teen Challenge when I was 22. And I would say up to around 24 years old, I believe that everything I prayed and everything I did was all about me asking God to bless what I wanted. And I don't think my intentions were wrong. I don't think my motives were wrong. I was young in the faith, and I didn't fully get an understanding of everything that God had for my life. But it wasn't until I was around 22 years old, and I remember I was in chapel one day in Teen Challenge. At this time, I was in Pennsylvania doing my second phase of the program. And I remember I was in chapel, and I was beginning to just kind of think about my life. At 22 years old, I felt like I was, you know, getting older. I had wasted and squandered many years of my life, and I was beginning to ask myself those questions because I was coming to the end of my time as a student of, God, what am I going to do in my life? Where am I going to go from here? You know, what is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing with myself? And I remember finding a place, you know, in the chapel. It was a Sunday after service. Everybody had left, and I just began to pray and to ask God, and I began to cry out, God, what is your purpose for my life? And in typical God-like fashion, he didn't answer me. Anybody been there before? You pray and you pray and you pray and you're waiting and there's nothing. But I didn't get discouraged. I didn't give up. I didn't become weary. I didn't doubt God or throw in the towel. I began to just continue to pray and to seek and to ask, you know, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your plan? And it was the first time in my life, and probably, you know, to be honest, the only time in my life that I truly, it was almost like the inaudible, unmistakable voice of God spoke to my heart so clear that I actually turned around and looked. I thought somebody was actually shouting and speaking to me. where I heard that voice of God, and God told me that I have called you and set you apart from the things of the world to fulfill my purpose, which is to be a pastor and a minister in full-time ministry. And if you would have told me that 2 years prior to that encounter with God, I would have thought that you were nuts. Because being in ministry was nothing that was even on my radar screen. But friends, I trace everything back in my life to that moment. That moment where I was alone with God. Because it was then and there where I discovered my true purpose and my true identity in life. See, I had no idea when, I had no idea where, and I had no idea how this was going to happen. But I understood the what behind everything that God had for my life. Friends, and God is probably going to reveal his purpose for you in your life differently than he did for me, of course. In fact, Oswald Chambers said this. He said, let God be as original with others as he was with you. Meaning God has a unique and a special way that he is going to connect and to speak and to minister and show you his perfect plan for your life. Amen? I mean, look at the scriptures and we can see the men and women of God who God revealed his purpose to. How did David get his purpose when he was on the road to Damascus and as he got blinded and fell off that horse? Matthew was collecting taxes when God revealed his purposes to him. Zacchaeus was climbing a tree. Peter was mending his fishing nets. The centurions who nailed Christ to the cross were what? Casting lots for his clothing. And the woman who was caught in adultery, the Bible says, was actually committing adultery. What's my point? My point is that each life and script is unique, meaning God speaks and God leads differently with individuals at different times and places in their lives. And God reveals different purposes to different people in different ways. And we may never know how or when or where God is going to reveal his purposes, but friends, we need to be open, amen, to know what God's plan and purpose is for our lives. Proverbs 16, verses 9 says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but God orders the footsteps. Friends, you never know how and when and where God's going to reveal his ultimate purpose for your life and for your family and for your destiny. It may be by a passing comment from someone in church, might be a word from the pulpit or a word from a friend, might be on a radio station or a dream or a book that you've read or in your private devotional time. There are no limits to God's ingenuity when it comes to giving directions. Amen? Just continue to seek, continue to knock, continue to ask, and he will be faithful to answer to show you his purposes for your life. And friends, it's so much more than just a career. Amen? It's so much more than just a job or what spouse you're going to have or what town you're going to live or what house you're going to buy or what your giftings and your talents are. Those are all great. And all that is part of our purpose. But when I talk about purpose here today, I'm talking about the very reason for your existence. Why God has created you, what your purpose and your destiny here on earth is. Father, why have you created me? What am I meant to do with my life? Friends, let us live our lives not by default, but by God's design and serve and fulfill his purposes as we live here on earth. Amen? Number two, and I'm going to wrap up with this. No doesn't always mean no. Number two, no doesn't always mean no. Let me explain. When you begin to pursue God's purposes for your life and not just your own, I can guarantee you one thing, is that you will face opposition. And it'll come in the form of well-intentioned friends and family members who try to reason with you. I remember when I went home and I told my family, you know something, God spoke to me. And again, I don't come from a Christian family. My mom was saved at this time, but nobody else was. And I remember going home and telling my family, God called me into full-time ministry, and they laughed at me. They said, you know, you're just excited. You're just, you know, really super spiritual right now. That's what happens. That'll fade. Some family thought I was crazy. In fact, most of my family still today mocks and laughs and thinks I'm crazy, and he'll grow out of it, just a phase. Friends, when God reveals his purpose for your life, there's always going to be opposition. People who are going to be naysayers, who are going to be haters, who are not going to understand and agree. And that's okay, because what is our purpose? To fulfill his purpose, not anybody else's. It'll come and disguise itself in a relationship, in busyness, in complacency, through trials and obstacles. Friends, one way or the other, you're going to experience opposition when you're pursuing the things of God. Many years ago, I read a book. I forget the title of the book, but it was talking about Bill Hybels. Anybody know who Bill Hybels is? The pastor of a very large church in Illinois. In fact, he's got like, you know, 10,000s of people in his church, or even more than that. Plus, he's got the Willow Creek, I think, what is it called? The Willow Creek Association, where there's thousands of churches under his ministry. And he was beginning to share about how his church came into existence. And he was kind of recalling in the very beginning how he was, you know, looking for a place to rent and to start this church. This vision that he had, that people mocked him and laughed at him and said, it'll never happen, it'll never work, you'll never be successful. And he saw this little theater called the Willow Creek Theater. And he recalls going into that theater, you know, asking to speak to the manager, the person in charge, because, you know, he was looking to start a church and he thought this would be an ideal location. And the manager told him, no, we're not interested. That's not going to happen here. So he went on, and of course, he didn't take no for an answer. He asked to speak to the regional manager. I said, can I speak to your regional manager? And the person said no. And then Bill said, well, who owns this, you know, this theater and this chain here? Because I want to set up a meeting with that person. They said, well, that's the president. He said, well, then can I schedule a meeting? And they said, no, you cannot. And then Bill Hybels again did what I thought was very creative. He said, well, do you mind if I just sit in your waiting room for a little while? And people are like, well, there's no harm in that, sure. And it says that he sat there for close to 6 hours in that waiting room all day, just watching people come in and people come out. And through the course of that day, the president, who he didn't know who was the president, walked in and out of that office probably 10 times during the day. And the president was kind of wondering, like, who is this guy and why is he sitting here all day? And finally, the administrative assistant said, listen, can I help you? Because you've been here all day. And he goes, all I want to do is meet with the president. She goes, well, that's not going to happen. And he goes, well, then I'm just going to wait here until he has the time. And finally, at the end of the day, the president was walking out and said, sir, what are you doing? What can I do for you? And he said, sir, I would just like a few minutes of your time. And my question is this. He goes, I have a way to add revenue to one of your theaters at a time when it's not being used. And it was at that moment that the president's ears and his mind was interested. And at that very moment, he was able to secure that location to build his little church and to start the church, the vision that God had given him. And we all know the story. His church has grown to become one of the largest and most successful churches in all the world. Friends, there are going to be times in your life and in my life and all of our lives where people are going to be negative. People are not going to agree. Opposition is going to come. What you feel in your heart and in your mind that God has birthed might sound ridiculous, might seem impossible, might seem unattainable. But friends, we need to hold on to God's purposes for our lives, because if God has promised to fulfill it in your heart, no matter what opposition you might go against, no matter what the enemy might throw you away, God is going to fulfill it in his time. Amen? When you are pursuing the purposes of God, we need to know when no doesn't mean no. Sometimes we can't take no for an answer. When the enemy, when people, when the voices in our head, when circumstances and situations tell us we can't do it, that's crazy, this doesn't make sense, we don't take no for an answer. When what God is calling you seems impossible, unattainable, unfathomable, plain illogical, and you're fearful or hesitant to step out in faith, trust God. Friends, maybe you're frustrated today because you feel that God's purpose for you, or that thing inside of you that you're believing God for, seems to be 1,000 miles away from you. Maybe you're faced with obstacles here today, distractions of many kinds, trying to hinder God's perfect plan for your life. Can I encourage you today to not take no for an answer, to dig into the things of God, to seek God in a greater way than ever before, and not to become weary in doing good. And as Pastor Joel said this morning, that we serve a God who doesn't sleep nor slumber, amen, whose ear is always inclined to hear the cries, the prayers, and the praises of his people. Friends, stay the course today. Stay in the fight. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. No matter what you're battling with today, what you're believing God for you and your family. And understand this, that most dreams die because we aren't willing to do something and fight for something that seems illogical. Amen? Hold on to God's promise for your life and for your family. And when all is said and done, may our lives be like that of King David. And we can look back on our lives and say, now, when Rosie had served her purposes for her generation, she fell asleep. When Ivan had fulfilled his God's purposes for his life, he fell asleep. When I had fulfilled God's purposes for our lives and for this generation, God's purpose, then I fell asleep. May that be our cry this morning, may our prayer. And I encourage you today, no matter what you're going through, to just keep pressing into the things of God. And remember to seek and to serve his purposes, not our own, for our lives. Amen. Father, we thank you once again for this time this morning, for this moment that we've had to just, God, share your word together, to sing songs and to worship and to praise you, to give testimonies, God, for all that you've done and for all that you're doing in our lives. And I pray for every person within the sound of my voice, God, whatever it is that we're going through, that we're wrestling with, God, that we're believing and trusting you for, Father, I pray that you'd meet these needs according to your riches and your glory. We thank you. We give you praise and honor this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.